for tonight, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Over the last year, and then really year, almost 2 years if you count Third Monday service, we've been working through the Upper Room Discourse, which is John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. And it's been a really amazing series. There's so much in those chapters for us to meditate on, to glean. But one of the things that we need to keep in mind that I think sometimes we forget when we're doing deep dive Bible study is that when these books were originally written, they weren't written with chapter numbers and they weren't written with verses. They were written as a book. And most oftentimes, you would read it straight through. The goal was for you to read and digest that all at once. And that's rarely how we read Scripture now. A lot of the times, instead, we do Bible study slowly working through from verse to verse, which is a great way to do it. But we don't stop and just take it all in at once very often. So what we're going to do tonight, we have actually finished our verse-by-verse exposition of the Upper Room. So some of you can pat yourselves on the back. You have survived. You have made it through. You've done a wonderful job. But what I want to do tonight is we have been so zoomed in the last year and a half. Tonight, I want to zoom out. We've looked at all the information. But now I want to just spend one evening together in the upper room hearing what this discourse would have been like for the original audience, which was the disciples. So I want to do something a little bit different. We are just going to spend some time reading the upper room discourse straight through. So I hope you have your Bibles because you can read along. We're going to read John 14, 15, 16, and 17. And as we do, be an active listener. I want you to think about what you have learned through this study. I want you to think about the truths of these verses. I want you to imagine what it was like for the disciples to hear this. I want you to be thinking through what your biggest takeaways of this have been. And then after we've read through the upper room, we're going to have a few people come up and share what their big takeaways from this series have been. And then when we go to our life group tonight, you're going to have some opportunity to articulate how you are putting all this together. What are you wanting to walk away from this series with? What are you going to put into practice in light of living in the upper room this last year? Because what we don't want this to be is a study that you tuck away and say all sorts of fun stuff we learned about John, and then it doesn't change your life. We want you to live an upper room informed life. We want to live out what Jesus has taught and modeled and encouraged through these verses. Because if we really live it, it will change our lives. So with that overview in mind, I'd like to invite our readers up. And our first reader is already on stage.
All righty. So we'll start in chapter 14 here. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know that the way to where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, do we not know where you are going? How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, do you know him? From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you for so long and still do you not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me, I am the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on me account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now bear with me, I underlined and scratched this all out. So if you love me, you will also keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the Word cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live in you, also will live. In that day, you will also know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I'm still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk so much about this with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here.
I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have been guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. But the word that is written in their law must be fulfilled. They hated me without a cause. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning.
Sorry. A little nervous. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to be with him who sent me. And none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow will fill your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning the sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again, a little while, and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, what is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will see me, and a little while, and you will see, a little while, and you will not see me, and again, a little while, and you will see me, and because I am going to the Father. So they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he's talking about. Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying a little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you have asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from that I came from God. And I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come. When you will be scattered, each of you to his own home, and I will leave and will leave me alone, sorry. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you have gave me. I have given, and they have received them and have come to know that in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these alone, only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and I love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Amen. At this time, we're going to have three different people share some testimonies of how this series has impacted them. So I'm going to ask Pat and Atiana and Reese to come up, and Pat will share first. And so let's just kind of give our attention to them as they share their hearts with us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Pat. Beautiful text, I think. I think John writes really wonderfully, and it's such a soothing discourse. And I think when I think of this, I think of fidelity, because I think what Christ did there was really quite respectful towards his disciples as he was leaving. And so he showed great care, kindness, gentleness to them to try to explain to them what life was going to be like in a nice, loving way once he's gone. And it makes me think about the transition, being with him all the time, but then adopting the Holy Spirit into their lives. And it's sort of similar for us, I think, right? I mean, we can accept Christ, but then we have to have also the Holy Spirit in us. And so I think this passage here is really quite rich because he outlines, especially like 16 is really a strong chapter for me, where he outlines the three items of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And then he dives into that a little bit. And he also prefaces it by saying, it's for our advantage for me to go, right? So why is that? Why is it an advantage for him to go? And I think it's because, you know, if you're going to say in systematic theology, if you ever take any of those classes, the one limitation of Christ, so to speak, as a man is he's a man. He's here, he's now, which is intensely personal. But he's here. He's not in Merrill. He's not in Shano, right? He's here. But the advantage of the Holy Spirit is he's everywhere amongst us, right? Sent from God the Father, advocating for Jesus Christ in our lives. And so I think that, you know, when you look at sin, because the world doesn't believe in Christ, righteousness, because Christ is going to be with the Father, and leaving the prince of the earth here to be condemned, it gives us a choice. And that's a gift. It's a huge gift. And so I think that when we look at this and really kind of internalize it, the question before me, as I read it, is where is Christ in me? And so the discourse goes on and on and on about being part of the vine, being pruned. It's not easy. It's painful, right? And yet we grow to produce more fruit in our lives. And so where the rubber meets the road, I think, is how do we choose to live our lives believing in Christ with the advocate in our hearts, right? So if that's the case, are we walking with God in our lives? Where the rubber meets the road, in our business lives, in our interpersonal lives, what does that look like, right? Is it for the glory of God, the way we live our lives? Or is it for our own glory, right? So we have a choice, and he's very clear about that in this passage. And so to me, this whole thing comes back to where is Christ in me? And Christ is very explicit, right? We're the branch, and he's the vine, and the Father prunes the vine so we can grow more fruit. So when I go through my life, and you go through your life, I hope, we have to come to a conclusion about, are we walking with God? Are we walking away from God or Christ? Or are they actually in us? So everything in our lives at that point stops being about me. It's really about my relationship with Christ as I interact with each and every one of you guys. So if I can do that, then I'm glorifying God in my actions, in my life, and in my beliefs, because it guides me. And to me, that's the take-home in the Upper Room discourse. So thank you.
Okay. Can you guys hear me? So my name is Atiana. I'm relatively new here at Highland, moving here in October of last year. If you guys do know me, you probably know me as Bianca's little sister. And for this series, one of the first thing Andrew started out with was getting to a true grasp on the terms and conditions of following Christ and what that might look like here on earth. And one of the first scriptures he shared, I'll reread, is John 15, 18 through 25, but just the first few verses. It says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. And I thought that this was a very sobering place to start the series because oftentimes I've gone to church and they kind of indirectly teach that if you follow Jesus, then your life is going to be blessed. You'll be rich. There'll be rainbows. There'll be butterflies. And that doesn't always line up with Jesus's description of what it will look like. And in the modern world, we're taught that good will bring good consequences and bad will bring bad consequences. Maybe like finding the cure to cancer, Nobel Peace Prize, or murder, prison, you know? Or maybe a little bit normal of an example is do a good job at work and get a promotion. And as ambassadors for Christ, ambassadors meaning earth is not our forever home, we're held to different rules and standards than the worldly values. And it's important to understand that the world doesn't always commend righteous living. Having a true understanding of what to expect when you follow Christ in a broken world will help you be prepared when you face the trials and struggles as you live life. And when you expect, you can be prepared and also encourage others in hardships. Secondly, Andrew talked about two opposing extremes, and that's being exclusively sanctified and being exclusively missional. Exclusively sanctified is going to have emphasis on holiness and naturally separate themselves. The people that are like this will naturally separate themselves because they are just so set apart from everyone else. Then on the other side of the spectrum, exclusively missional completely focuses on the action and good deeds. So let's go build, let's go feed, mainly focusing on the duties and the services. And as I grew up in California, I experienced different types of churches along with different types of Christians. And as a young teenager, I walked away from my faith for many reasons. But one was being that I saw the disconnect from these people that were sanctified, talking about Jesus and knowing so much, blah, blah, blah. But they never leave the perimeter of their own comfort zone. Then on the other hand, there was the exclusively missional people. And these people were a little bit better in my mind because they were doing something, but they really kind of forgot the most important part, which is the gospel. And I think knowing both of these extremes is really important so that you could have a nice balance of both of these in your faith. And lastly, I really enjoyed hearing Andrew's short testimony of him being stuck in a situation where he felt confident in knowing all of his theology and his Bible stories. But once he was confronted in a real life situation where he had to comfort a family that had just faced some death and they were grieving, all that Bible knowledge was not so helpful for him anymore. And I think that most of us feel that it's necessary to have an extensive knowledge of the Bible. And I don't think we do because Christ said to love others as he has loved us. And you can do that in so many different ways, in small ways. And I think that they're more impactful than you would know. And then you just trust God to do the rest. And that's my takeaway for the series. Thank you.
Okay, so I think I learned a lot of different things throughout the whole upper room. It was all great. There was all so many different little pieces that I had got. But I think one of the main things that God is really showing me throughout the upper room this year has just been, I guess, the joy of not being with Jesus physically yet. And that sounds kind of weird, but like I think about what Jesus was trying to show and tell the disciples through the upper room and kind of preparing them for his departure from the earth and from them. And so with me and my own experience, even in this last couple of months, just really in such a deep way, more than I ever have understood before, just the difference or the tension between my flesh and my spirit and how they're so combative and just so different. Like, my flesh does not default to loving God. My flesh does not default to wanting him. And so through that processing of understanding just, like, those couple of things, I had realized, like, Lord, I just want to be with you in heaven then, so I don't have to deal with all this. I can just be with you, and I can just worship you, and just it be pure and all of the stuff. But then through that it had made me almost, like, kind of go too far, as where it's like, oh, I don't really want to be on the earth at all. I just want to be with you, and kind of forget why we are here, and that we have the Holy Spirit with us now, which was well said before. But just realizing that we have the Holy Spirit with us, who dwells in us, and he's our helper, he's our comforter, and kind of just forgetting that. But now the Lord really showing me that in such a deeper way, of that he's with us, and it's Jesus's person, it's his Spirit that's in us. And that's just been such a cool thing to realize, and cool thing to, like, get into too, of just getting to know the person of God, and realizing the Holy Spirit's role right now. And he's with us here wherever we go, 24/7. And it's such a cool thing to just dive deeper into even more. And then along with that as well, I think something that's been really cool is that we are here for a purpose as well. That if we were saved, God could have took us to heaven right away, but there's a reason that we're still here and still on this earth. And I just think that has been such a revelation to me too, of that we get to serve God on earth. Like, what an honor that we get to be here and serve him and just advance his kingdom and share the gospel to all of the non-believers and disciple other believers here. So I just think there's been such a cool thing between all of the sermons that Andrew has taught and just the words that Jesus has spoken. That's been really cool. So
let's just give one more round of applause to everyone that shared. Until you're up here, you have no idea how intimidating it is to try to explain and expound and share your thoughts. So they did a phenomenal job. And just thank you guys so much for sharing. I know I said there was going to be three, but I lied. I decided I wanted to share my takeaway too. And then Bianca is going to package everything up and put a bow on it. So I'll talk for just a second before Bianca. But, you know, I think my biggest takeaway from spending time in the upper room was the beginning of John 15, where it talks about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches that abide in the vine. And the reason that stuck out to me so much is the focal point of that passage so many times when people are talking about it is whether or not you're bearing fruit. And they make fruit the focal point. Right? Look at your life. Look at the fruit. Da, 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 da. And that's so stupid. The focal point isn't the fruit. It's the vine. It's Jesus. And we're not called to fixate on the fruit. We're called to focus on the vine. And if we abide in the vine, the fruit's just going to be there, because that's what fruit does. That's what fruit does. And I've spent, man, countless years of my spiritual life focused on the fruit. And I look at the fruit, I don't like the fruit, and then I fixate on the fruit, and then I try to staple on fake fruit so everyone thinks I have good fruit, and then I'm nervous about, you know, about all these types of things. And not saying that fruit's indifferent, it's important, but the fruit isn't how many times you read your Bible, if you raise your hands during praise music or not, you know, how much money you gave to the church. That's not the fruit. The fruit is, do I look like Jesus? And I know a lot of people that have attended church their entire life. They know the Bible exhaustively. They're here every Sunday, or not here, but they attend church every Sunday, and yet they look nothing like Jesus. And that's where you have the wrong fruit, and you are focused on the fruit but not the vine. And I just found so much encouragement and freedom, and just really hearing Jesus say to me, focus on me and I'll take care of the fruit. You know, and maybe that's what you need to hear too. Focus on Jesus, he'll take care of the fruit. Okay, so focus on Jesus, abide in the vine, and he's got the rest. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Now it's over to you.
Thanks. We needed that. Well, I don't know. I needed that. I hope you guys think that too. Oh, what a year. Like, what a year it's been in this series, in just the text that we read, and it's just been such a gift. As I've come up every week and shared just like my heart and where I'm at in my faith journey, I'm sure most of you have noticed that it was a hard year. It was just a really tough year. And in that, and I'm not like, things aren't like so great now. They are. Like, I think the Lord has been so gracious, and there's a turning of a corner in my own faith journey, and I'm so, so grateful. But even just over the last few weeks, like, there has been this like resistance towards the Lord. And I have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and I know that He is faithful. But the disconnect between my mind believing that and my heart trusting that, there's been a gap. And the Lord is present in the gap. So wherever you are in your life, and if there's a gap, the Lord is with you. And most importantly is that He loves you. If you read and you were reading along with us, like at the end of chapter 17, it's just Jesus proclaiming His great love for you. And it's, yes, us, but individually, you. What a beautiful gift that is. And just the kindness of the Lord, it just blows me away. Because even when I have my arms up, and they have been up for a minute, He's like, Bianca, I still love you. My grace is sufficient. I am still good. That's an awesome Savior. And I'm so thankful that's the Savior that we have and that we get to love and serve even in the trenches. So my prayer is that this has been just a life-giving series for you guys. And if you're new tonight, go back and listen. We're like kind of cool and hip, and we like record the sermon. So, whoa! Just kidding. If we weren't, that'd be embarrassing. Get along. Like, yeah. Anyway, but we do. We record the sermons, which is awesome. And even if you have listened to all of them, go back and listen to them again. I truly believe that God's word, the truth, does not return void. So we can listen to these things over and over and over again, and it will just pierce our hearts over and over again. So I encourage you to go back and listen. If you haven't been with us this whole time, please go back and listen. They truly have been so life-giving. One last thing I just want to close with, because it's, man, yeah, it was good. And hearing just how, like, we need to ask the Lord. But I was meeting with a gal, a dear friend, and I was just giving her an update on my life and all the things. And, you know, I said, I don't really ask the Lord of much. And I asked the Lord this one thing. And after I had said, you know, I don't ask the Lord of much, she looks at me and she goes, Bianca, maybe that's the problem. Wow. Like that, it blew me away. And it obviously, it has been sitting with me in my mind and my heart. And so I want to encourage you guys, like, ask the Lord. And I doubt that He hears sometimes. There are so many times I'm just like, Lord, do you hear me? Like, do you care? You know? And He does. The answer is He does. And His word says that He does. So ask Him. Ask Him to go before you and be present, and He will continue to be faithful, just as He always has, and He will continue to be. So, what a year. Crazy. Let's give it up for the Lord, because He's awesome, truly.